Let's go ahead and open our Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 27, which I consider a very important section of the book of Deuteronomy because it calls for the establishment of a long-term holy site where the book of Deuteronomy will apparently be on display for the Israeli people for as long as they will maintain it. So Deuteronomy chapter 27, we already did the first few verses, but I want to read them again because they are so important to what comes next. Chapter 27, verse 1, "Now Moses and the elders of Israel commanded the people, saying, 'Keep the whole commandment that I command you today. And on the day you cross over the Jordan to the land that he who is your God is giving you, you shall set up large stones and plaster them with plaster. And you shall write on them all the words of this law when you cross over to enter the land that he who is your God is giving you, a land flowing with milk and honey, as he who is the God of your fathers has promised you. And when you've crossed over the Jordan, you shall set up these stones concerning which I command you today on Mount Ebal, and you shall plaster them with plaster, and there you shall build an altar to he who is your God, an altar of stones. You shall wield no iron tool on them. You shall build an altar to he who is your God of uncut stones, and you shall offer burnt offerings on it to he who is your God, and you shall sacrifice peace offerings, and you shall eat there, and you shall rejoice before he who is your God. And you shall write on the stones all the words of this law very plainly.'" So once they cross into the Promised Land, the Israelis are to make their way as soon as possible to the region of Shechem. And once they've arrived at Shechem, they are to go to Mount Ebal. There are two mountains that serve as the shoulders of Shechem. Shechem actually means shoulders in Hebrew. And the northern mountain is slightly taller than the southern mountain. The northern mountain is called Mount Ebal. And they are to go up on the slopes of that mountain, and they are to raise up standing stones that will serve as monuments to the Word of God. They're going to whitewash them, and then they're going to inscribe on them in some fashion all the words, I believe, of the book of Deuteronomy, Moses' final address to the people of Israel, which means we've got a multitude of stones, possibly written front and back. And this is going to be the first Bible for the Israeli people in the Promised Land. It's their first written word. Some people think that even the book of Genesis would be included in this command, and the other books of Moses, but I'm a little hesitant to go that far, but I definitely believe it's more than just the Ten Commandments. I believe it is the entire book of Deuteronomy. This will become the shrine of the book, or the shrine of the covenant, that Israelis can come to on a regular basis and read for themselves the words of God as put down by Moses, the great prophet. Now, unfortunately, and I don't want to get too far ahead of myself here, but unfortunately, this site will degrade fairly rapidly after it is put into place, and it will play a part in a story in the book of Judges, where people have turned it into a sort of superstitious worship site for other gods and goddesses. Very unfortunate, but definitely goes with the theme of the book of Judges, where there was no king in Israel in those days, and each man did as he saw fit in his own eyes. And that, of course, that was not a good thing. All right, so once they get this standing stones of the written word up, they are then to offer sacrifices and have a celebration there. They are also to have a special ceremony that is described next in the book of Deuteronomy. Chapter 27, verse 9 now. Then Moses and the Levitical priests said to all Israel, "Keep silence and hear, O Israel, this day you have become the people of He who is your God. You shall therefore obey the voice of He who is your God, keeping His commandments and His statutes, which I command you today." See, the written word of God is what the people of God are supposed to be rallied around. It's supposed to be what keeps them united and focused. And that has not changed to this day for New Testament believers. We have the entire Word of God, the Old and the New Covenants. We have the Gospels and the letters written by the apostles and prophets, which tell us everything we need to know for life and godliness. And so the churches of Christ, the churches of God, the assemblies of God, the church as it really is, needs to be centered around not people, but around the Word of God. And so if your congregation is not Bible-centric, then you need to help it become so, or you need to leave that congregation, because it is not what God intended for it. Because God's people are always unified around God's word. Verse number 11 now of chapter 27. "That day Moses charged the people, saying, 'When you have crossed over the Jordan, these shall stand on Mount Gerizim to bless the people.'" So Mount Gerizim is the mountain to the south. And it's interesting. You've got Shechem that is slightly to the east of where these two mountains come close to each other. Their slopes come down. And there's almost like two little natural amphitheaters on that plain that is immediately west of Shechem. And it would appear that on this day of the ceremony, six of the tribes are going to stand on the slopes, perhaps of the natural amphitheater that I'm thinking of Mount Gerizim, and they'll be facing north. And those tribes are these: Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Joseph, and Benjamin. So those are the tribes facing north on the slopes of Gerizim. Then verse number 13, "These shall stand on Mount Ebal for the curse." So these guys are facing south, and the tribes are Reuben, Gad, Asher, Zebulun, Dan, and Naphtali. And one group is going to recite the curses, while the other group recites the blessings. Verse 14, "And the Levites shall declare to all the men of Israel in a loud voice." And so here we go with the ceremony of the cursings and the blessings. The Levites are taking the main vocal responsibility here, with the people responding back. Verse 15, "Cursed be the man who makes a carved or cast metal image, an abomination to He who is, a thing made by the hands of a craftsman, and sets it up in secret." So basically, cursed be the idolater. "And all the people shall answer and say, Amen." Now, Amen is a Hebrew word that's related to the word for truth, emet. And so Amen is the way that Israelis would either respond to a statement to say, "That is true, I agree with that." Or it is the way that they would introduce a statement of truth, such as when Jesus would speak from time to time during His ministry and say, "Amen, amen, I say to you," or "Truly, truly, I say to you." So the reason why we end our prayers today with amen or amen is just the tradition of faithful people saying, I agree with what's being said. All right, so the Israelis going over the curses from Mount Gerizim are supposed to cry back, I agree with that, that's true. Nobody should be an idolater. Verse 16, cursed be anyone who disowns or dishonors his father or his mother. And all the people shall say, Amen. So this is the Ten Commandments we're kind of starting with here. That God is to be respected by not having idolatry, and moms and dads who represent God to their children are to be respected. Verse number 17. Cursed be anyone who moves his neighbor's landmark, and all the people shall say, Amen, or Amen. This is theft. It's theft of property. Once they get into the promised land, the Israelis are going to receive family farms, family property, and there will be boundary markers set up, stones, large stones that will be moved into place to show the corners of property, and they'll be marked that this is a landmark stone. We have a similar thing in our own society where surveyors will put down metal stakes into the ground that can then be found later by future surveyors to decide where property lines are. Well, it is illegal in our modern day age and punishable by serious fines to move one of those metal markers. And for the Israelis, it was illegal and punishable by serious repercussions to move a boundary stone. And so here they are putting a curse on anybody that would try to do that. Verse 18, cursed be anyone who misleads a blind man on the road, and all the people shall say, Amen. So it is wrong to take advantage of those who have handicaps or who are not fully abled, because that is not showing them respect. They are made in the image and likeness of God. They have some issue that limits their capabilities, and you shouldn't take advantage of those limits to your own benefit. That's wrong, and God will deal with that. So a curse on anyone who does that. Verse 19, cursed be anyone who perverts the justice due to the sojourner, the fatherless, and the widow, and all the people shall say, Amen. This is the typical way of referring to people with less political and community power. If you are a visitor in the land of Israel and you're not an Israeli citizen, then you have the possibility of being taken advantage of. If you have no dad or mom to step in on your behalf, you have the possibility of being taken advantage of. If you have no husband as a widow, then you have the possibility of being taken advantage of. And so cursed be anyone who tries to take advantage of people in those groups. Cursed be anyone who lies with his father's wife because he has uncovered his father's nakedness, and all the people shall say, Amen. Sexual deviation is something that brings a curse of the community. And so to have sexual relationships with your either biological mom, and again, can we all say, ooh, or even with your dad's new wife, who is not your biological mom, that is still disgusting and inappropriate, and it brings a curse of the society. And by the way, here we should probably give our PG-13 warning. Any of you that have kids nearby that you would rather not have some more advanced conversations with, it's time to turn the radio off and save this for internet listening later, or get them involved in something in another room so that you can continue your studies with me. Okay? All right, so that should have been enough time for you to take care of that. Verse 21, cursed be anyone who lies with any kind of animal, and all the people shall say, Amen. Why is it that we even have to specify this. It is not natural. It is not part of the design that God gave to the male and female gender model that he designed. It is something that anyone should be able to speak against with no problem. And yet, in some weird twist of our world, this is already being defended in some circles as appropriate behavior. We got a problem, folks. I can't say anything more than that. That's as simple as it can be. Verse 22. Cursed be anyone who lies with his sister, whether the daughter of his father or the daughter of his mother. And all the people shall say, Amen. Now, this is a change historically. And we've talked about this before. 500 years earlier, Abraham was married to his half-sister, Sarah. They shared a dad, but not moms. At that time, the gene pool was still deeper and wider, and so there was not the danger of genetic problems. But in the 500 years since, that has changed enough that God has tightened up the rules regarding close sexual relationships. So the Israelis are not to allow even half-sibling marriages any longer. And we understand this so much better today with the genetics. When you marry close into family members, what you're doing is you're strengthening the bad genes. Not just the good ones, you're strengthening the bad ones. And that's where genetic problems will pop up in families. So it needs to be avoided. Verse 23, cursed be anyone who lies with his mother-in-law, and all the people shall say, Amen. Again, this is not appropriate behavior. Even though she's not related to you by blood, she is related to you by marriage. And there needs to be a wall of respect placed there. Verse 24, cursed be anyone who strikes down his neighbor in secret, and all the people shall say, Amen. That's a description of murder. Cursed be anyone who takes a bribe to shed innocent blood, and all the people shall say, Amen. That's a description of basically becoming a hitman. Or it's also possible to be a false witness in a capital case where you lie in order to get somebody killed. That is murder, and it is a cursed thing. Verse 26. Cursed be anyone who does not confirm the words of this law by doing them, and all the people shall say, Amen. And so even the refusal to live by the standards of the Mosaic Law was enough to bring a curse in the society of Israel against you. Now, there may have been other things that were part of this cursing ceremony, but these are the ones that Moses included in his writing. Now we shift over to the blessings. If you faithfully obey the voice of He who is your God, being careful to do all His commandments that I command you today, He who is your God will set you high above the nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you, if you obey the voice of He who is your God. So the way Moses wants to present it is the way God has presented it. I want you guys to come in to this promised land. I want you to come in and enjoy all the magnificent prosperity that is part of it. And I want, as your God, to be able to bless you and to make things special for you, to make it as close to Eden as I possibly can, as you live according to my holiness. So that's God's offer to the Israeli people. And so in this section, he goes through the details of what he's talking about, the highlighting of the different aspects of a great holy life in the promised land. Verse 3, blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the field. So it won't matter if you're living in a townhouse or a farmhouse, whether you're doing a business in the metropolitan area or you're doing business out in the fields and with the animals. God will bless you if you're blessing him. Verse 4, blessed shall be the fruit of your womb and the fruit of your ground and the fruit of your cattle, the increase of your herds and the young of your flock. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. So everything that your hand touches will prosper. That is what God is offering to the Israelites. If you will just do things my way, I will make things go your way. I will make sure that everything you put your hand to does so well that you've got more than enough. And you will have blessings everywhere you look, coming in and going out. This is also what he would do. And now keep in mind, and this is the caveat that I want to bring up. The Israelis failed to realize the fullness of this promise. Because almost immediately after they went into the land and Joshua helped them in the initial taking of the country, the Israelis turned around and started doing things their way, not God's way. And so God withdrew his blessings from them. Sometimes a little, sometimes a lot. But they never realized the fullness of this blessing. Verse number 7, he who is will cause your enemies to rise against you to be defeated before you. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. So yeah, your wicked neighbors might attack you, but as long as you're under my blessing, I will scatter them in such a way they'll run away seven different directions, which is just a nice idiomatic way of saying in as many directions as they possibly can come up with. Verse number 8. He who is will command the blessing on you in your barns and in all you undertake, and he will bless you in the land that he who is your God is giving you. So your barns will be overflowing. Verse 9. He who is will establish you as a people holy to himself, as he swore to you, if you will keep the commandments of he who is your God and walk in his ways. As we go through this, we must always keep in mind the conditionality of the blessings of God. He will only do the fullness that he describes here if the Israelis remain faithful in their holiness to him. All the peoples of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of he who is, and they will be afraid of you. And he who is will make you abound in prosperity, in the fruit of your womb, in the fruit of your livestock, in the fruit of the ground, within the land that he who is swore to your fathers to give you. He who is will open up to you his good treasury, the heavens, to give the rain to your land in its season and to bless all the work of your hands. And you shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. He who is will make you the head and not the tail, and you shall only go up and not down if you obey the commandments of he who is your God, which I command you today, being careful to do them. And if you do not turn aside from any of the words that I command you today to the right hand or the left to go after other gods to serve them. So God wants to give them prosperity and health and wonderful lives in holiness, if they will remain faithful, if they will be holy as he is holy. And as I've already emphasized several times now, That is not what's going to happen. So we have here described the ideal, but we will end up with the reality. And the reality starts getting described in the curses. And we've only got a couple of minutes, so we probably won't get through the full curse. But it's basically the mirror image of the blessings. If you will not obey the voice of he who is your God, or be careful to do all his commandments and his statutes that I command you today, then all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. Cursed shall you be in the city, cursed you shall be in the field. Cursed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Cursed shall be the fruit of your womb and the fruit of your ground, the increase of your herds and the young of your flock. Cursed shall be you when you come in, and cursed shall you be when you go out. He who is will send on you curses, confusion, and frustration in all that you undertake to do until you are destroyed and perish quickly on account of all the evil of your deeds because you have forsaken me. He who is will make the pestilence stick to you until he has consumed you off the land you are entering to take possession of. He who is will strike you with wasting disease and with fever, inflammation, and fiery heat, and with drought, and with blight, and with mildew. They shall pursue you until you perish, and the heavens over your head will become bronze, and the earth under you shall become iron. He who is will make the rain on your land powder. From heaven, dust shall come down on you until you are destroyed. So effectively, God will turn the tap off. He will disrupt the weather cycle that is so prominent in the promises of this promised land. And he will dry up the ground and make it hard to grow crops. And they will be sorry that they have ever come into this land of sorrow. Well, we're out of time for the day, but we haven't got through the full curses. So mark your place there, and we'll get back into that the next time we get into the Word.